This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Welcome to this week's Business Radio Show. Remember, this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is show number 375. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communications in this cloud. It's also sponsored by Staples and their Advantage program. They know how important it is for you to market your business to acquire and retain customers. Well, on today's show, this year, the federal government's goal is to give away, get this, over $500 million to small businesses for subcontracting. How can you get your fair share? Plus, every company, every product wants to be green, or at least that's what they claim green as a way to attract new customers. But is it really working, and is there another way? Plus, food trucks are all the rage these days, not only for consumers who can easily access more foods, but for restaurateurs that can set up a shop for a fraction of the cost. But first, there's a lot of hate going around the world these days. International events just seem to be getting worse every week. And at home, the presidential election is dredging up old hatreds. But what about your customers, the ones that you think are haters? You know, the ones that complain about everything. Is your first instinct to ignore them and to blow them off? But what if you hug them instead? This is my next guest solution. Jay Baer is the world's most retweeted person on digital marketers. Jay has advised more than 700 companies since 1994. His Convince and Convert Media division owns the world's number one content marketing blog and the world's top marketing podcast. He's a creator of 5 multi-million dollar businesses and is an active venture capitalist and technology advisor. And I want to note that he's also an avid tequila collector and a certified barbecue judge. Yes. We've had too many of those, Jay. Welcome back to the show.
You know, I was told that there would be tequila and barbecue on my triumphant return to the program.
Well, there is. You didn't get it in the mail? You didn't get it in the mail?
Oh, well, the mail hasn't come yet today.
All right, we'll email it. We'll email it right over to you.
All right, we'll talk to our best people. We'll put our best people on it.
So this whole idea of hugging your haters, I think, today is so important because there seems, beyond small business, it's just so much hate that's coming out in the world now.
Yeah, have you paid attention to the presidential
election? Really, exactly.
Yeah, it... You know, look, the book is essentially about disruption in customer service, right? The customer service is changing in the exact same way and for the exact same reasons that marketing has changed, right? It's social media, it's millennials, it's mobile. But most businesses are completely asleep at the switch on that shift. They're still using a 1995 playbook to solve 2016 customer service problems. And so I wrote the book because of that, right? Because customer service is being disrupted. But in the process of writing the book, like literally while I wrote and published this book, we got this new level of sort of angst and rancor, at least in the U.S. And so the timing of this book actually ended up being great.
Again, the title of the book is called Hug Your Haters, How to Embrace Complaints and Keep Your Customers Focused on These Themes. Jay, one of my questions is that, you know, customer service is always a perennial theme. People always say, you know, we got to offer good customer service, things like that. But when it comes down to it, I find that most businesses really don't give two whits about it. How come?
Well, and here's the funny part about it. Nobody ever goes into a conference room and says, you know what, we don't really care about customers.
Exactly.
Everybody says and has fooled themselves into believing that they do. In fact, there's an amazing stat originally from Bain, which says that 80% of businesses in America say that they deliver superior customer service. 8% of their customers agree. So I think that sort of mathematically encapsulates the problem. But here's why that's true. For the longest time, for generations, Barry, there was no great upside to being good at customer service because, yeah, you might delight a customer and they might tell their friends or the people they see at church, but how many people could they really tell? Conversely, if you were bad at customer service, you might disappoint that customer, you might lose that customer, but how many people would they tell? The few people they saw day to day, the people they saw at church, etc. Now, in this environment where customers are media, you have a much higher opportunity if you're good at customer service and a much greater penalty if you're bad at customer service because it shows up all over Twitter, Facebook, Yelp, TripAdvisor, and beyond. People have not realized yet that today customer service is a spectator sport.
But Jay, you're asking me to do something that I think is really hard. It's really hard for me because, listen, we all have haters, those of us that are out there in the public media. It's really hard for me to hug my haters. I just want to throw them on the bus or ignore them.
Well, absolutely. There's a quote from a guy in the book who runs a fast food franchise. I didn't name the franchise for obvious reasons. He said, look, I don't really care about customer service. I just want them to buy food and I'll make it and give it to them. I'm like, well, at least this guy's honest, right?
Exactly.
But the reality is that, and we prove this in the book, this book is full of tons and tons and tons of research. This isn't just like, Jay thinks you should do this, go do it. There's a tremendous amount of proprietary research in this book, and we found that when you answer a customer complaint, it increases customer advocacy every time and in every channel. When you don't answer a customer complaint, it decreases customer advocacy every time and in every channel. It takes a bad situation and it makes it worse. Yet, the biggest issue is that a third of all customer complaints are never answered.
Amazing.
They never, ever get answered at all. It's just like, hey, I've got a real problem here. It's like, you don't hear anything back. So, geez, I think the least you can do, which is why the core sort of thesis in the book is that you should answer every complaint in every channel every time.
You know, it's interesting because I think the worst sin you can make is not to answer, you know, a complaint. But I think the second worst thing is when the customer service people argue with me to try to prove that their point is right and mine isn't.
You nailed it. One of the biggest operational challenges in customer service, and this is, I think, most acute in small business, but not entirely, is this belief that you have to be right. And it doesn't matter. This isn't a court of law. It's customer service. Even if you're right, you're not right, right? Because the customer's perception is their reality. And this belief that, well, this customer's lying, this customer's trying to extort us. No, they're not. It's just a difference of opinion, a difference of expectation. And apologies are free. And we need to understand that.
It's really interesting because I think that mostly if you just listen to your customers, if you show some empathy, that goes a long way, don't you think?
Oh, it's huge. And one of the things I talk about in the book and the tactical blueprints in the back is that what I see today with a lot of the big clients that we work with in these kind of issues on the consulting side is in the desire to be more places, to say, look, we got to answer all the tweets and all the Facebooks and all the whatever, what happens is companies willingly trade empathy for speed. So they say, look, we've got to be able to answer all these questions. So what we're going to do is we're going to get 5 pre-approved by legal responses, and then we're just going to copy and paste the best of the 5 for each scenario, right? So it's like, well, this guy has this, so that is pretty close to B, so let's just copy B and paste. And copy and paste, by definition, is not empathetic. And so that's a real challenge, because in some cases, you'd be better off not saying anything than to lay on the robot response.
And so how do you get this message across to the people that are actually on the phone? Because their job is tough, let's face it. Okay. You know, the customer service people are, you know, by definition, people are going to call to complain. And sometimes there are chronic complainers where that customer is never satisfied about anything.
Yep. Well, at the individual level, it's tough. And I have an enormous amount of respect for anybody who does customer service and customer success as a profession, because you have to have a temperament that, frankly, I simply do not have. As an organization, I think we have to embrace the fact that negativity is the best thing you can possibly have, which sounds counterintuitive, but here's why. The most overrated thing in business, in fact, I would argue the most overrated thing in life, is praise.
Exactly.
Because every time somebody says, hey, you're great at this, you're great at that, you're great at this, I mean, it makes you feel terrific, of course, but it doesn't teach you anything. Because in almost every case, you already know what you're good at. What teaches you lessons is negative feedback and criticism. Complaints are the petri dish for improvement. So what you want as a business, paradoxically, is more complaints, not less. And you have to understand that almost all of your customers who are dissatisfied don't complain.
Absolutely.
The research shows that 95% of unhappy customers never complain in a form or a fashion that the business can find it. So the 5% who do, who take their time to tell you how you can do better, those guys are incredibly important and valuable. But for thousands of years, we have treated people who complain like our least important customers. And in fact, I will tell you, and the research bears this out, that they are your most important customers.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Last question I have for you with the 30 seconds left. Let's try to broaden this a little bit. How do we, I guess, tone down the rhetoric with all the haters that are going on just in the world in general? How do we hug the haters just in our daily life?
I think you've got to, we mentioned it earlier, stop trying to prove yourself right and understand that people have their opinion is their opinion. It doesn't necessarily have to conflict with yours in a way that you have to set them straight. And then I think don't take the bait, right? I mean, this idea that you have to meet rancor with rancor, you have to bring a knife to a gunfight verbally is really counterproductive. So I think the best lesson is to never take things personally, to always keep your cool, and to follow my rule of reply only twice, which means you never reply more than twice to anybody online in any circumstance, because that's how you get sucked into a negative vortex.
That's great advice. Jay, thanks for being on the show again.
I loved it. Talk to you soon.
Coming back, how to go green and make a profit for your business doing it. This is AM 560, The Answer. Be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your roadways. South on Lakeshore Drive, all lanes are reopened at LaSalle after an earlier nasty accident. North on Lakeshore Drive at Belmont, there's a rollover accident. The two right lanes are blocked. Downtown Chicago, an accident with injuries in the clearing stages at Dearborn and Ohio. The Edens and the Kennedy are wide open, coming in on the Eisenhower. Little bit sticky from Ashland into the Burn, where the two left lanes are closed. Also, the westbound Thorndale entrance closed until 8 a.m. Thorndale to the post office a half hour. On the outbound side of the Stevenson, very heavy. From about Harlem out to the Des Plaines River Bridge, where crews have barricades set up in the two left lanes. Lakeshore Drive out to 355-37. Currently, it's 42 downtown, going up to 74 with sunny skies. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
The battle for the Republican nomination is racing towards the convention this summer in Cleveland.
Nobody is going to have enough delegates. We are going to go to a convention. It's going to be open.
Can Trump be stopped?
The only campaign that has beaten Donald Trump and the only campaign that can beat Donald Trump is this campaign.
Will there be a third party run?
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud.
What happens next?
We should make it pretty easily based on what I'm seeing.
Happens here.
So we won't have to worry about fighting at a convention.
This is AM 560. The Answer.
You already turned to Staples for business supplies, but did you know its experienced print team can help your business with print and marketing services? From business cards to brochures to presentations, you'll have a dedicated print expert on your side who makes sure your projects are completed on time and on budget. Need help updating your logo? There's a team of designers just for that, and they'll make sure that the final product is always up to your brand standards. Put Staples print expertise to work for your business. Visit staplesadvantage.com/print or your local Staples store.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Hi, I'm Lex Howard, CEO of Balance of Nature. I occasionally take new customer calls, and often people tell me that they have been hearing our advertisements for years. What are you waiting for? Start now and begin experiencing the benefits of Balance of Nature in your life.
It's a very good product, even if I open the capsules. It tastes very good.
I like it. That's why I'm reordering it. Matter of fact, I think I may give it to my son. You can't point to anything except you suddenly realize you're not dizzy anymore, you don't have a headache anymore, you're sleeping pretty good. It's not a case of where this hurts and now it doesn't hurt anymore. It's difficult for people to realize it's helping them because they're feeling like they should feel.
Good health is just a phone call away. What are you waiting for? Call now and take the health challenge to get a free month's supply of Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-2468-751. That's 1-800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
It seems no matter where I look these days, every company, every product wants to be green. or at least they claim to be green, as a way to attract new customers. But is it really working, and is there another way? Here to help is Shel Horowitz, who has been showing small business owners how to be more profitable by being green and ethical. Shel's an international speaker, transformative business consultant, and a multi-award-winning author of 10 books, including the long-running category bestseller, Guerrilla Marketing Goes Green. And he's got a brand new book out. It's called Guerrilla Marketing to Heal the World, co-authored by J. Conrad Levinson. Shel, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be here again, Barry.
So is green still sell?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, more and more, it's something that customers really demand. If they have a choice between a green or a socially transformative company and a company that's not, and the price and quality are about the same, they'll go for the one that makes the world better pretty much every time. In fact, it used to be that this was kind of marginal. I've been doing this a long time, going back to the 70s. And when I started, people didn't have a lot of patience for going green. People certainly weren't thinking about using business to transform hunger and poverty into sufficiency, war into peace, and that sort of thing. And it's really shifted. It's become so common now that you can't not be in business if you're not addressing it.
So is this for everyone or just for consumers that are perhaps of a higher socioeconomic standard, or maybe it's just for Democrats?
Well, you sell differently to the people who are deep committed Greens than you do to the others. In the book, I talk about marketing differently to three different categories of customers for green products and services. You have your deep greens, who are the people like me, who've been living and breathing this stuff for just decades. You've got the light greens, people like my mother-in-law. And my mother-in-law told me when she found out I was going to visit the Markel paper factory a few years ago, she says to me, "You always buy Markel because it's recycled." But she's a lazy green. She wouldn't go, like, halfway across Queens to find the recycled toilet paper. She buys it because it's right next to the conventional paper in the supermarket, and she'll do the right thing if it's nice and easy. And then you've got the non-greens, and you can still sell non-green people on green products and services, but you do it totally differently. You do it by looking at the core benefit to them, not to the planet. So you don't say, buy this, it's green. You say, buy this, it's going to be more comfortable, it's going to last longer, it's going to feel better when you use it. It's going to eliminate the toxic health effects of what you're using before. And by the way, it's all this because it's green. So you flip the argument on its head.
So Shel, how do you find out what color green, I guess, your customers are?
Well, you can start by asking them. And you can also put out different message points that you expect to reach different people with. Apple's really good at this. Apple, for example, you look at some of their ads, and they're all about designers. You look at other of their ads for, say, the iPod, and they're all about the cool, hip teenager listening to music. That kind of market segmentation is very, very common in the business world, and even somebody as small as my own business, a one-person operation working from a farmhouse, we can do that kind of segmentation.
So, Shel, why has there been this, I guess, fundamental shift over the last couple of years to really people really focus on green? Why do people care now when for a long time they didn't?
I think one reason is that it's becoming obvious that the Earth has had enough of our shenanigans, starting with the Asian tsunami and Katrina and Rita back in 2005, the series of natural disasters that we've had. It's got to give you pause. There's also, I think, because the technology has come so far so fast and all of a sudden going green, making the world better, is not any more expensive a lot of the time than doing the old way. And in fact, many businesses have discovered that they have saved money and made a lot of money by making these kinds of changes. They're able to market more effectively. They're able to lower their costs. They're able to boost their revenues. What's not to like?
So what you're really saying is that every company really should have some kind of green strategy, even if it's for non-greens or for light greens or lazy greens.
Yeah, and ideally they want a strategy that will talk to all three of those markets. And actually, on my website, transformpreneur.com, there's a little quick assessment that people can take to see how your business stacks up, both in terms of developing green products and services and marketing them, and also those that really transform the world and that address hunger, poverty, war, climate change in a deep systemic way. So that is free, that people can just go the word transform and then the second half of the word entrepreneur, .com, and you'll see the assessment being one of the main menu items there.
We're talking with Shel Horowitz, author of a book called Guerrilla Marketing to Heal the World, co-authored by J. Conrad Levinson. What is really the next step for small business owners as they try to market green products to their customers?
Well, the first thing to do is to look at the low-hanging fruit. What can you do, for example, to green your own operations so that you have some credibility to talk about this with your customers? And it could be things as simple as next time you buy a printer, you buy one that prints two-sided, what's called the duplexing printer. Very easy stuff like that, on up to, of course, much more complicated, developing whole new categories of product that wouldn't exist except for the green world. For example, there are a few companies making little vertical gardening units that apartment dwellers in places like New York or Chicago can use to grow food inside their houses. That's a category that really wouldn't exist without the green consciousness that we have now. I first encountered it, in fact, at the Green Festival several years ago. So there's so much that you can do. It's just, I would say, start, number one, by looking at your own capabilities. If you, for example, are in the food world, then you might look at how to both supply greener food, such as organic, and also how to address world hunger through your products and services. And it just kind of spirals out. You start slowly in small, manageable chunks, and over time you evolve probably fairly quickly into a company that more people want to do business with and a company that can command more respect in the marketplace and that whose customers will actually be more forgiving if you make a mistake because they see you're making the effort.
You know, it seems that, you know, people or some people will pay more for green products. I was one of the early adopters of the electric car, the Nissan Leaf, right? And I shop at Whole Foods all the time. But where do you figure, how do you figure out where that line is, how much people will pay, and how much profit you can make off of that?
Well, I can tell you it's fairly individual. For me, it's usually on a small item, it's usually like 15, 20% more I will pay for that. But it depends. I mean, I will pay $6 for a loaf of artisan bread. And yes, I could get a loaf of cheap crappy bread in the supermarket for a dollar. So on certain products, I will pay considerably more than that 15%. Like anything else, you have to test the market. You have to see how you can justify it. If you can make the story about why you're charging more something that people can respect and believe, then you'll have an easier time. So in terms of the artisan bread, you would talk about organic whole grain local wheat, for example, and how that's a rare commodity and hard to get, and it costs you more to make, and therefore your price is higher. In the case of your electric car, the argument might be looked at in terms of the long-term fuel bill that you're going to pay over, let's say you have the car for 10 years, how much money would you save each year? That's money that you can then justify paying on top of the smaller amount of money that it would cost you to buy a fossil fuel car.
So the last question I wanted to ask you about this was, it seems to me that this is such a big task. We see more and more of competitors really collaborating in this whole thing. How are they doing that?
Oh, it's great. This is something actually that's been going on in the business world for a very long time, Barry. In fact, if you ever wondered how it is that the United States Postal Service, which we all grew up laughing at its ability to handle and deliver mail properly, how are they able to guarantee next day delivery of express mail? And the reason is that they hire FedEx to move it
exactly
from airport to airport. So that kind of collaboration, you see it in the car industry. The very first new as opposed to used car I ever bought was an 88 Chevy Nova designed by Toyota and basically identical to the Toyota Corolla. So partnering only makes sense, and you see more and more here in our Western Massachusetts area. We've had a number of areas get together and organize restaurant festivals where 40 or 50 restaurants will take a public park and serve small portions of food for a couple of bucks a piece for 2 days on a weekend. And doing that, I think, had a lot to do with the town that I live near, Northampton, Massachusetts, going from having 50 restaurants to having about 100 in really only a few years, because all of a sudden people would come in for this restaurant festival from 50 miles away, and then they'd come back for dinner and a show later in the year. And pay, of course, so that at that point they're not paying $3 for a sample. They're paying down, sitting down for a full meal and paying for it. So this kind of collaboration often makes people stronger and better able to compete. And you see it not just in the same sector, but you see, for example, that companies can influence their supply chain.
And Shel, I got to cut you off there. Thanks for being on the show.
at transformpreneur.com.
You got it. Coming up, the federal government's going to give away over $500 billion to small business owners. How can you get your fair share? Is AM560 the answer? Be right back.
The battle for the Republican nomination is racing towards the convention this summer in Cleveland.
Nobody is going to have enough delegates. We are going to go to a convention. It's going to be open.
Can Trump be stopped?
The only campaign that has beaten Donald Trump and the only campaign that can beat Donald Trump is this campaign.
Will there be a third party run?
Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud.
What happens next?
We should make it pretty easily based on what I'm seeing.
Happens here.
So we won't have to worry about fighting at a convention.
This is AM 560. The answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. North Korea says it successfully test-fired a ballistic missile from a submarine, but that country's foreign minister says if the U.S. wants the testing to stop, there is a way.
We think we made a very logical proposal to the U.S. government. Stop the nuclear war exercises in the Korean Peninsula, and then we'll cease our nuclear tests as well.
Foreign Minister Ri Soo-yong speaking to the Associated Press in a rare interview. And a tribute from the boss to Prince last night. Bruce Springsteen opens his concert in New York City with one of Prince's most famous songs, telling fans that he will miss him. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good morning, I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways. The northbound side of Lakeshore Drive jammed up approaching Belmont with a rollover accident taking out the two right lanes. Edens and Kennedy look great. Out on the Stevenson, you lose two left lanes from Harlem out the Plains River Bridge with periodic 15-minute full closures until 7 a.m. Lakeshore Drive to the Tri-State 27, now 37 out to 355. This report is brought to you by Jewel Osco. Hurry in for Jewel's three-day sale and save on USDA Choice T-Bone, bone-in strip steak, or boneless top sirloin steak, just $6.99 a pound. Large snow crab clusters are $5.99 a pound. And select 4 to 7 ounce Earthbound Farm salads are $1.99. Sunny skies today. We're going up to 74. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
When elderly family require care, you insist on local medical professionals with specialized training in home services and nursing. Alliance Home Service is a leading family alternative to nursing home and institutional care. It's critical to ask the right questions when matching a caregiver to your loved one to maintain the most positive lifestyle for your entire family. Alliance Home Service is among a select group of Chicagoland companies providing in-home non-medical care such as hygiene, medication reminders, activities, and companionship and medical care. All caregivers have the highest level of training and expertise. You'll experience the cost efficiency of in-home care as well as the level of caring you expect from family. Call founder and registered nurse Linda Weiler at 866-227-3459 or visit AllianceCaregiver.com for a no-obligation family care consultation. Alliance Home Service. Our family, caring for your family. That's 866-227-3459 or AllianceCaregiver.com.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Here's an amazing fact. The federal government's goal is to give away $500 million to small businesses subcontracting. How can you, as a small business owner, get your fair share? Here to help is Lourdes Martin Rosa, who is the American Express Open Advisor on Government Contracting. In this role, she uses her more than 20 years of experience in the federal space to coach small business owners and how to get contract ready and find contract success. Lourdes, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
So Barry. This is an astounding number. Why does the government want to do $500 million in subcontracting for small businesses?
Well, when you look at the larger piece of the pie, the federal government is the largest procurer of products and services in the entire world. About approximately between $500 billion is spent annually in contracts, and therefore there's a mandate that 23% of those set-asides should go to small businesses.
And so
you slice it a little further, 5% should go to women-owned small businesses.
And so define for us what a women-owned small business is and how do you qualify for that category to get federal contracting?
Well, I'm very proud to say that this administration has really added a lot of opportunities for women-owned small businesses because I'm also a women-owned small business along with American Express Opens Advisor in Government Contracting. And as a women-owned small business, it means it is 51% owned and operated. I mean, boots on the ground, you are in the company, basically running the operations, doing the marketing, signing the contracts. That's what identifies you as a woman-owned small business. At least 51% of it has to be owned and operated by a woman.
So where do you start in trying to get your fair share? Because there's got to be millions of women-owned small business owners that would really like to get involved in this.
Well, the first thing they need to know is they need to understand that the federal government, although it is a huge giant gorilla in the room per se, it is set aside into different agencies. There are about 60-some-odd agencies, and every single one of them run as if it's its own company. So when you're trying to market your products and services to the federal government, understand that you are not going up against a huge conglomerate or a huge organization. It's basically set aside into different agencies. Also, there's a lot of resources out there to help you grow your business within the federal sector. The Challenge HER program, which is a bipartisan organization that started with WIP, Women Impacting Public Policy, a partnership with American Express Open and the Small Business Administration. This partnership has started in April of 2013 and actually has helped boost government contract opportunities to women-owned small businesses across the nation.
And so with all these different departments, all these different agencies, how do you really stand out to the purchasing officials?
Well, the first thing that women need to do, and I'm going to give you three really good tips that I always give many of the women-owned small businesses when we tour across the nation with the Challenge HER program. Number one is you have to get noticed. You need to register your business on doing business with the federal government, and that is SAM.gov. But not only just register your business, but make it stand out. Make sure that you complete a profile in the SBA profile page of that SAM.gov, because that is where the federal agents go to try and find women-owned small businesses. Number two is go to openforum.com/government contracting. That website has a wealth of free information that consultants like me helped create with many, many years of experience. You could download them. You could save them. It's a lot of resources and tools that you could utilize. Number three is market your business. You have a lot of resources that the federal government has available. Explore them. Go on each agency's website. Find out what they're going to be purchasing in the future by looking at the procurement forecast within each agency, and find out what their buying patterns were by going into usaspending.gov and finding out how they were purchasing your product and services.
So, Lourdes, give us an
idea. There's a lot of transparency.
Right. Well, give us an idea of what the federal government is buying and what, as a women-owned small business, I might be able to sell them.
Well, as a women-owned small business, a federal government only only manufactures money, and we all know how good that is. So you think about, if you look around on your desk, the chair you're sitting on, the pens that you're using to write, the paper, the construction, everything that is around you has been procured by government contractors. So everything from construction services to leadership training, HR services, from zippers to textiles to computers, everything is purchased by the federal government.
So there's a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. And you, if you want to know how much stuff is being purchased by the federal government, go to FBO.gov or federalbusinessopportunities.gov. And every contract that's over $25,000 is posted on this website. And you'll see them being set aside for small business, small disadvantaged business, women-owned small business, and et cetera. And you could begin to submit proposals. But a first thing you need to do is learn how to do business with the federal government. That's why I encourage many women businesses to explore the Challenge Her program. We're going to about 20 states this year.
Lourdes, thanks so much. We're out of time for this segment. Appreciate being on the show and showing us the way.
Thank you.
This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your traffic. The northbound side of Lakeshore Drive really jammed up approaching Belmont with a rollover accident taking out the two right lanes. Monroe on up to Hollywood up to 22. Southbound at LaSalle, crews cleared out that crash. In Spring Grove, a vehicle fire on Route 12 and State Park Road. Crews are still on the scene. Out on the Stevenson, you lose two left lanes from Harlem out to the Des Plaines River Bridge. They also have full periodic 15-minute closures until 7 a.m. Lakeshore Drive out to the Tri-State 27, 37 minutes on out to 355. Making your way on the Dan Ryan I-57 or the Bishop Ford, all good to go. Sunny skies today and a high of 74. Currently clear in 43 downtown. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-9600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, it's getting closer. National Small Business Week is coming up May 1st to May 7th. And here we're celebrating with a series of segments each week sponsored by Microsoft. We're talking to small business owners, how they are using technology to leverage their business. My next guest is Vadim Vladimirsky, founded Adar in 2005 with the vision of helping businesses by applying proven technologies in new and creative ways. His passion is innovating systems and processes to make Fortune 500 level IT hardware, software, and services, and also to make them for small and medium-sized businesses. Vadim, did I get the pronunciation of the last name right?
Close enough, Barry. Good
all right,
job.
So why don't you give us the pronunciation of the last name?
Sure, it's Vladimirsky.
Vladimirsky, okay. Well, tell us a little about Adar.
Sure, my pleasure. So Adar is a technology and IT services company. We've been around, as you mentioned, since 2005. And we are really transforming the way that small and mid-sized businesses leverage technology and purchase technology. We are on the forefront of what's called IT as a service, which is a way of delivering a comprehensive IT package that includes things like desktops and servers and software and backup, and most importantly, all of the services that are involved in running an IT department as a monthly per user per month type of a system, where our clients can have all of that, same thing that large Fortune 500 companies have at a very affordable price point.
So how are you actually doing that? Are you just giving them a bundle of services, or are you actually providing something to the users for their desktop?
We're actually doing both of those things. We host desktops and servers in data centers, and we integrate very closely with Microsoft's Office 365 suite of products. So users have a front end of a hosted instant streaming desktop, virtual desktop, running in a data center with Office 365 being used for document storage and for email and having the ability to access all of that data from mobile devices, et cetera. So it's a complete IT solution with desktops being hosted in a data center.
So on this hosted solution, why include Office 365?
You know, it's really a core piece of what small businesses need as part of their IT. Obviously, everyone uses things like email. Everyone needs to access documents on the go from their mobile devices. Everyone that we know uses Microsoft Office for word processing and spreadsheets. And Office 365 gets you all of that functionality and integrates very seamlessly with any other applications a small business may have. They may be using, QuickBooks for accounting or some other product that needs to be installed somewhere. And that's what we provide them. We provide them a platform that has both the Office 365 and all of their other software integrated together in one place and supported by one company.
And what do you find are the most popular applications these days?
Certainly, QuickBooks is probably one of the most popular ones out there. The Adobe suite of products tends to be extremely popular. You know, the Adobe Acrobat and Creative Suite is used quite a bit. And then depending on the industry, there could be various industry-specific applications. We work with law firms, and they use a lot of, legal-focused software. When we work with accountants, they're using various accounting packages. So it just really will depend on the industry.
So for a lot of your customers that need to collaborate across multiple platforms, how popular is OneDrive?
OneDrive is popular primarily for sending and sharing data with people outside of the organization. So if someone has really large documents or files to share with a vendor or a customer, OneDrive is very popular for that. It's also popular for syncing data to a local device like a laptop, so you can work on it offline while on the plane and then have it back on your computer on your virtual desktop when you reconnect. So it's really popular for those applications.
So since you support all these customers, how popular is using the Office 365 suite across platform, not only on perhaps, iPads, but also on smartphones?
It's very popular. I mean, certainly the, Outlook is an app that I see a lot of iOS users migrating from the built-in mail app. And having a lot of that functionality that Outlook on the mobile is built in. Also using the OneDrive app to access files very quickly and easily is there. Skype for Business, we're finding that many of our customers are using that for internal instant messaging communication. So, yeah, definitely, we see a lot of companies leveraging the mobile versions of those applications on their devices as they go around their day.
To me, this seems to be a really good solution because there's so many problems associated with IT in a company. It seems like it just gets in the way, and to take that off the small business owner can be a real advantage.
Absolutely. I mean, we really help them make IT as a utility and a business enabler for them. They don't have to worry about it. They know what they're spending. It's very predictable. They know if they're going to have, one extra employee next month, what their IT spend will be. But most importantly, things just work, right? And you have a platform that you can use to run your business without having to worry about keeping it upgraded all the time, buying desktops and servers every few years. All of those hassles go away with our solution and Microsoft Office 365 integrated into it.
So last question I have left. We've got about 15 seconds. One of the biggest issues, of course, is security. So you guys really help with that as well.
Absolutely. I mean, security for us is tremendously important. We deal with a lot of financial services companies and healthcare companies, so we undergo HIPAA audits on an annual basis and make sure that all of our technologies are extremely security-focused. So, yes, that's definitely an important component of what we do.
Vadim, thanks so much for being on the show, and I want to thank Microsoft and Office 365 for sponsoring this National Small Business Week exclusive. Vadim, have a good day.
My pleasure. Have a good day as well.
This is AM560 The Answer. Be right back.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows to a crawl. This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years. 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 Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
How much do I love my pillow? Well, so much that I took it with me, traveled with it on our trip to Puerto Los Cabos, Mexico. And guess what? Everyone was jealous that they didn't have one. If you aren't one of my listeners who's already purchased a My Pillow and getting a better night's sleep, I need to get you on board. Hey, listen, Mother's Day, Father's Day are almost here, and the 2-for-1 offer is still available with the promo code Amy. I won't list all the benefits, you've heard me do it many times, but suffice it to say that the benefits are many, especially how much better you'll sleep and how great you'll feel in the morning. I know I do. That's why I'm not surprised My Pillow was voted the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. It's the perfect gift for mom or dad or you, and it's always good to know you're getting the best deal with the 2-for-1 offer. So visit MyPillow.com or call 800-489-0201. Use the promo code Amy for the 2-for-1 offer. 800-489-0201 or online at MyPillow.com. Promo code Amy, 800-489-0201. Do it now.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, Here's Barry Maltz.
Well, food trucks buzzing around the city are all the rage these days, not only for consumers who can get easy access to more foods, but also for restaurateurs that can set up shop for a fraction of the cost. Here with her advice on how to do it is Anna Mitchell, who's the owner and founder of Gobble Dogs, a family-owned catering and food truck business that specializes in serving turkey hot dogs with a variety of delicious toppings. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So my understanding is that this is a family business.
Yes, the family business of me and my twins, who are actually now away at college, but they're still very active. They're freshmen at the University of Illinois in Southern. So it's the three of us.
And so why'd you start Gobble Dogs? I'm just hungry just saying those words.
Well, I started the business because it actually was a fluke. A friend of mine needed a caterer for her daughter's birthday party, and she tasked me with the opportunity to do that because I don't eat any beef or pork. I wanted to make sure it was something that I could eat, and we wanted to keep in mind that we wanted it to be easy for the children to eat, easy cleanup, and something that both the parents and the children would like. So we came up with Gobble Dogs. So we had turkey hot dogs there, and we just did a variety of toppings, and it just took off. The parents loved them, the kids loved them, and everyone was happy, which is typically what you want with a birthday party.
So you started a food truck. How much capital did it really take to get this started?
You know, so if you follow food trucks, you know that food trucks can range as little, from $50,000 all the way up to $100,000. But I was very
wow, and they get lousy gas mileage too, right?
Right, absolutely. But I was really, strategic in how I approached it. I knew that once I started the business, because I started it as a catering company with triple crock pots and a steamer going to my clients' houses and setting up for birthday parties and special events. When I decided to venture and do the food truck, I tried to keep in mind the cost, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't break the bank. So I used Craigslist. I used eBay. I bought my truck at a very discounted price off Craigslist for less than $4,000. Great truck. It's an old, actually, Chicago Housing Authority truck. And I pieced it together. I bought the truck in about 2012, beginning of 2013, and I just took my time putting it together. I used references and found people who were willing to work with me to outfit the truck. And so I think for everything, it was just under $16,000.
Wow. That's wow. And so the last question I really had for you is, what kind of lessons have you really learned that others really perhaps can avoid if they want to have a food truck? Because, it seems so easy when they just show up at your place of business, but I know there's a lot going into it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the main thing I would tell people is that they want to venture off and do a food truck is to be mindful of how much money they have. Don't go in debt. You don't have to. You don't have to take out all these loans that they suggest. I pieced mine together. Like I said, I used different tools like Craigslist and eBay. I even used stuff that I already had, like the triple crock pots that was actually certified. So, do a lot of research. Make sure you know the business very well. And the best resource I had were the other food truckers out here. They have a wealth of knowledge, and they are willing to share their information. They're just great.
Anna, thanks so much for being on the show. You can reach Anna at www.gobbledogs.com or just stand outside in any corner. You'll probably see her truck, right?
Absolutely. And that's Gobble Dogs with two G's.
Two G's. Anna, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I want to thank all of you for joining us on this week's radio show. I want to thank our sponsors, Staples and Nixtiva. I also want to thank our staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffern, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful, this is the year. Give me a call, 773-837-8250, or email me at barry@maltz.com. Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and pal your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Hey, as Mother's Day approaches,